Blog Talk Radio.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song is for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
I'll be honest with you,
I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower. Now
when I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over,
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And praise be to the all-wise, wonderful, living God in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm your host, Pastor David A. Shaw, of Monument of Hope and Deliverance, where hope, and I do mean hope, changes everything. We truly, first and foremost, want to give all honor to God, who's the head of my life, in the name of Jesus. And then I want to acknowledge my wife, Lady Diane Shaw. And then our overseer, Bishop Joel David Trout, out of Atlanta, Georgia. We truly want to give honor in the name of Jesus for all those that are listening by way of Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Skype, Blog Talk, and YouTube. Those are even into the chat room. We want to say hello and God bless you as well. In the archive, we want to say God bless you through the anointing and this reading that's going forth on today. In the name of Jesus. Again, we thank you for joining us, for coming forth with the reading out of the Book of Destiny. In the name of Jesus, written by Bishop T.D. Jakes, number one best author to read and write, and possibly even one of the most horrific words or books that we've ever heard. And we thank God for the reading that he's given us out of the Book of Destiny, Step Into Your Purpose. Again, we thank God for you joining us on today. We come forth with the remaining chapters of the Book of Destiny, chapter 16 and chapter 17. We want to mention before we go any further, if you'd like to support our ministry, praise God, feel free. Send your love token to 901 North 5th Street, Springfield, Illinois, 62702. We thank God for you joining us and being forth and part of our ministry. There's many of you out there who support our ministry, and we thank you. We thank you for no matter how great or how small the offering is or the love token is, we thank you nonetheless. We have what's called prayer, corporate prayer, community prayer in the morning, Monday through Friday, where we come together in the name of Jesus and we pray for the country, the world, the communities, our homes, our families, issues the individuals may have in the hospitals or whatever it may be. And there's a brick, a wall of bricks that First Lady Prophetess Diane Shaw put together for a prayer wall, and we go corporately and pray for each one of those names that are on the brick and those that call in and ask for prayer individually as well. We like to make mention that the prayer times for this are a.m. to 7:30 a.m. Pacific time, 8 o'clock to 8 o'clock, 8:30 a.m. Mountain time, 9 o'clock to 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, and 10 o'clock to 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. The Word of God says in the Book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 1, men ought to always pray, not faint. If you'd like to call in for prayer, praise God, through the hours mentioned, the time mentioned, the number to call is 774-220-4000. Again, that's 774-220-4000. Come a long way from chapter 1 to chapter 16 out of the Book of Destiny. Been a very inspirational, very encouraging word of God. Words that come forth. The Book of Destiny is written by Bishop T.D. Jakes, and with the anointing and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he brings positive and reinforcement to press on to achieve the most out of life by walking into your destiny. He mentioned through all of what we experience and what we go through, you can still do it. Now, at this time, we want to go ahead and focus. Chapter 16 out of the Book of Destiny. The title of the chapter is Exposed to Destiny. Step boldly to life's adventures. Let us read. The key to completing your journey to destiny is to reset the urge to retreat into the unfamiliar spaces of the past. In the new space, yesterday can look pretty good because it's familiar. But could you go back to yesterday? It could be not as warm, wonderful, and inviting as you think. You remember the comfort of security of the good old days, but if you went back to the home where you grew up, you'd probably find the rooms barely big enough to move around in. No kids playing kickball in the streets like you and your friends used to, and the nearest grocery store lacking your favorite brand of organic coffee. During our attack of loneliness, you want to go back to your old boyfriend, but remember, he's threatened by people who have more education than him. He brags about himself ad nauseum, and his mother controls every aspect of his life. Frustration with the feast or famine existence of starting a business makes you long for your old job's steady paycheck. Paycheck wasn't really that great. Your boss criticized your reports and the petty conversation in staff meetings made you want to scream. Ignore the tendency of glamorizing what you left behind. If the place you left had been all that great, you would have moved out of it to answer destiny's call. Not yet arriving to your destination can cause you to glamorize even the unhappy path. And then to doubt where you are headed. You begin to wonder if you really have what it takes. Put to rest right now. You have everything you need at the time you need it. You have what you need for them, and you have what you need for now. You gained the lesson you needed from where you were then. Now it's time to move on. Let go of what was in the past and let it stay there. Be thankful for the memories. Be grateful for the lessons learned, even the hard ones. Feel relief that the bad experiences are over and that you survived them. Keep moving because you can't walk forward while looking back. There is so much more of life for destiny to unfold to you. Give destiny a chance. Make room for your present. You need all the energy you devote to glamorizing your past to learn the lesson you need to thrive in your present and excel in your future. As uncomfortable as you may feel moving away from what's familiar, know that God is positioning you for a purpose, unfolding new places, people, and experiences. God's destiny for you is exciting and life-changing. Try to go back. Exposure is your best test drive for destiny. Have you ever seen a car in a commercial or on a dealership lot and decided to take one for a drive to check it out? You look at the sticker price and then sit in the driver's seat. You drive it to see how it performs on the road. While you're test driving, you think about how just the seat feels and whether it is enough leg room. If the car meets all your physical requirements, you inquire about financing and monthly payments. Then you make a decision whether or not to buy it. Maybe you can't afford the car, but just having driving experience may be enough to motivate you to work harder to make a car yours someday. Or perhaps you decided that something or everything you've heard about the car is hype and you really don't like it. Gaining exposure is like the test drive on a car. You enter a new arena and you see it if it fits. If you see what it costs, you need to be in that environment and determine whether you want to pay the price. You make inquiries in your new environment, just like you would about the car, and find out all that you can. You have to work your way into the field of God is exposing you to, just like you work your way into the field of a new car. You ask yourself, does lifestyle fit me? When it doesn't fit your needs or your self-image, you know to keep looking. Destiny constantly gives you opportunities for exposure to the new, different, and greater. A powerful, pivotal catalyst for life change is exposure to new facts, ideas, cultures, languages, and information. Exposure is empowering because it can mold, shape, and change you. You are the sum total of your exposure. You think you may the way you do based on what you've been exposed to. The foods you like are based on what you were exposed to. The clothes you wear, even the way you wear your hair, is largely due to exposure. Exposure broadens your thinking. You realize the world is much bigger than where you grew up, and that you can navigate that larger world. Exposure teaches you that there is more than one way of doing things and that there is not necessarily right or wrong, just different. For instance, after Americans visit other countries, they often remark, over there, they drive on the wrong side of the road. Actually, they drive on the opposite side of the road. The way traffic moves in England is not wrong. It is different from the United States. Exposure teaches you that many life decisions are about choosing different rather than some universal imperative that requires people to live a certain way. Those who have a great deal of exposure tend to be more open and less judgmental because they have chosen to challenge their thinking and make themselves that vulnerable to new ideas and experiences. But these are the very same reasons some people prefer not to expose to new thoughts and ideas. Exposure is a choice. You can choose to take a job offered to you in the international division of the company where you work, or you can stay where you are with the same people, living in the same house, eating the same foods, driving the same route to work every day. But you don't have to travel halfway around the world to broaden exposure. You can broaden yourself by taking a class in culinary arts or ballroom dancing or sculpturing, learning a new language, cultivating a new hobby. Exposing yourself to new knowledge and experiences is a choice that you make and not live in the confines that once nurtured you. As already mentioned, once you are exposed to new ideas and experiences, you're not going to be embarrassed, embraced by the camp that used to affirm you. Most won't have the capacity to cheer you on to learn more and do more. They'll say, "You're still going to school? You're going to be 80 years old before you get a degree." Or, "Why do you keep working like a slave for that job?" Or, "You think you're too good for us now." So, use such discouraging commentary to motivate you out of the false comfort of mediocrity. Don't let their ignorance discourage you from pursuing destiny. Make a conscious choice to surround yourself with people to learn more, to do better. Do try to bring along other willing minds when God blesses you with greater exposure. Share it with people who haven't had benefit. Have the benefit of your experience. For example, an up-to-coming young person, just remember that it's not the sole purpose of your exposure. Exposure is all about conscious choices. It's easy to surround yourself with people who know less than you and who haven't had the benefit of your experiences. Those are not the relationships that pave your path to destiny. The way your future is revealed through your relationships with people who know more than you, those who travel the worlds you have never seen and lives have touched others in ways that you can only hope to. When you choose to broaden your horizon, the price may be losing relationships, letting go of long-held family traditions, and feeling discomfort. You may feel like you don't fit anymore or anywhere. New situations are so unfamiliar and you've outgrown the old. You might worry about whether the new people were meeting you will accept you. Maybe you're not as good at this job or as talented as you think. Maybe they won't accept a woman in a supervisory position. Maybe your new in-laws will turn up their noses at you. Maybe your new neighbors will be stuck up or racist. You may have so many unfamiliar and unsettling feelings, exposure, that you will begin to think, maybe I made a mistake. You'll question yourself, maybe I don't belong in this world, and maybe you don't. But exposure is what teaches you whether you do or do not. You may be experiencing anxiety from unfamiliar territory, or you may decide a thing is just not for you. Part of a challenge to gaining more exposure is pushing past feelings of discomfort as you acclimate to new environment. Get comfortable addressing you as Dr. So-and-so. become familiar with different efforts so you can join the dinner discussion at your future in-law's house. Invest in an appropriate wardrobe for the kind of events you will be required to attend so you won't be self-conscious. Relish the benefits of traveling in the company's private jet and the special privileges that come with your new dream job. It's all a part of your exposure. When the discomfort of your new environment makes you fearful, ride the wave of feelings long enough to get a good test drive. Your initial fight or flight response may tell you to run for your life, but determined to engage your fight response to stay exposed to your new situation until your comfort level increases. Fight through feelings of inadequacy and own the new space. Exposure also helps you know that you don't what you don't want. You may have dreamed of being famous, but when you're exposed to a brief look into the cost of fame, you may change your mind. You may decide you prefer the freedom to stroll in the mall uninterrupted and without an entourage and not mobbed by paparazzi or autograph seekers. You may have dreamed of being an investment portfolio manager. But once you are exposed to what really goes on in the industry, you may realize you have non-patience for dealing with the whims of antics of trust fund babies. You may have dreamed of getting a law degree and becoming a district attorney, but with the little exposure you discover, you're better suited for corporate law. You may dream of owning your own business, but through exposure, you discover the risk of self-employment. Do not. For you, match the rewards. Exposure can help you know where you fit or do not fit. That said, give the new arena time before you decide whether it's fit. Impressions may be based on faulty and incomplete information. It's wonderful that your post-industrial nation is grown to allow it to gain exposure through more than one career. A couple of generations ago, a person who had several careers often was perceived as immature and unstable. Then a person found a job and established a business and did only that for a lifetime. Now we think in terms of multi-streams of income, making money from various fields of endeavor. How do we decide? Do you work as an accountant for a small corporation? Then, to express our creative side, we might have a small business as a wedding coordinator. You may also blog about dating and relationships. Exposure teaches you that you have multiple talents and have engaged in many endeavors, even simultaneously. Choosing exposure will require you to look at things differently and pay attention to life again. Engage, plan, strategize, access new experiences, new challenge, new knowledge, and new environment can completely change your approach to life. Fear, excitement, anxiety, nervousness, restlessness, insecurity, these feelings are a price for exposure. Whether you click with your new environment or not, your exposure to it is always a blessing. The fact that God has exposed you to something is always a sign that it can be yours, expose you to so you can absorb destiny in the deepest part of your soul. Breath, breathe in and believe, and let God open the doors of destiny through exposure. Destiny comes in pieces. Exposure to new thoughts and experiences is sometimes extremely uncomfortable for us because we fear the unknown, new arena in which God places us. God has revealed our destiny in us in pieces. If God showed you what the Almighty really had in store for you right from the beginning, it might scare you into this corner from which you might never reappear. God created you and knows what you have capabilities to do, but don't. You may see yourself as just a chemistry student or merely a mechanic. God sees a passion inside you that goes far beyond your present circumstances. God sees the great inventor, entrepreneur, physician, or teacher you can become in time. If God showed you what your creator finally sees in you, you probably couldn't handle it. So you get a little bit of it at a time. You have so much to learn along with the journey that you receive it. When I was a boy, I played a game called Mother. At some points, the child who was mother would say, take 3 baby steps and take a giant step. The child on the receiving end of the instructions had to first say, Mother, may I? Before taking that step, in a similar way, it's important to gain direction from God to get as you would like to take a giant leap. Sometimes God's instructions may be to take a couple of baby steps. You get a little bit at a time, like an infant who has just begun to tolerate solid food. Sometimes you get exposed to the business as an intern before you ever begin to trek to become CEO. Perhaps your exposure to the life of a district attorney comes while you are working your way through law school. Your introduction to having your own landscaping business may begin with your cutting lawns in your neighborhood. Your career as a solo artist may launch with you singing in the church choir. Each opportunity that builds on the last until you become fully ready to stand in the position of which destiny calls you. Destiny unfolds rather than explodes in front of us. We can have a greater understanding of where we have been and where we are going. Having full knowledge of all of the Almighty has in store for us would probably freak us out. The self we see now is not the person that Creator would shape up to receive destiny. When I was a boy, I went to the event where my mother was speaking at to a sorority group. We all know, they all knew me as Aunt Jackie's son. Hearing my mother speak was exposure God gave me to a tiny glimpse of my future. After her speech, I told her, now I know me as your son, but one day they're going to know me as my mother, know you as my mother. God showed me a piece of that moment. I had my idea that the Potter's house is my future. But I knew I would have an opportunity to speak to large groups of people. God, go with the flow of destiny. When destiny is an adventure, you can go along with that. But when destiny threatens your job security and puts your financial resources at risk, it feels more like nightmare. Destiny looks damaging. By flexible enough to change so that at the right time, you will be positioned to get another step closer to where you need to be. Going with the flow of destiny doesn't mean you won't experience pain, hurt, anxiety, anger, and loss. It means you don't let it paralyze you and rob you of the opportunity for new life. When someone is dying, after all medical and resuscitation efforts have failed, there is nothing you can do to stop it. Likewise, when a baby is about to be born, when the water breaks and a mother goes into labor, the only action to take in those birth and death moments is to adapt and adjust to the situation. Learn how to move on and find meaningful ways to fill the void, the loss created in your life, or stretch to accommodate the new member in the family. You don't do so in the day or because you make a decision. It is a process. But when you keep moving with the flow, you can craft a new way to find meaning in life. The Mothers Against Drunk Driving, MAD, organization was founded by a mother whose daughter was killed by a drunk driver. This grieving mother found a way to keep moving in the flow of life, which no longer included her daughter, to find a new purpose for her own life. If the company where you working, where you work for 20 years shuts down, let it die and trust that destiny is calling you into a new situation. When your marriage ends after all of your efforts to keep it alive, keep going with the flow of destiny. When you realize the situation cannot be saved, let go and open yourself to new opportunities. Sir Martin Luther King Jr. never intended to be such a well-known or polarizing figure. In the mid-1950s, when black citizens in Montgomery, Alabama formed the Montgomery Improvement Association, they needed a spokesman for their boycott for the city's bus transit system. The Montgomery pastor turned into a young, highly educated pastor who was fairly new to their community. Dr. King might have chosen a different life since he was educated institutions, but leadership during the Civil Rights era was thrust upon him, a role that he reluctantly accepted, but then fully embraced. Dr. Kim moved with the flow of destiny and King and changed the course of the nation and the world. When we choose to move with the flow of destiny, we are trusting that God has purpose in the things that are born into and die for our lives. As we go with destiny, we flow, we will find a greater part of ourselves that has yet to be revealed. When we are unable to move with the flow of our destiny, when we flow changes and we refuse to travel with it, we may find that we can no longer enjoy what used to bring us pleasure. We can't laugh at the things that we used to find funny. We become dissatisfied with the things that we used to bring contentment. Life has become wonderful. Do not come to us by foreknowledge or by any planning or on our part. We must learn to go with the flow, even when it feels as if God has stirred up what once brought us assurance and peace. Destiny requires us to move on. Look from destiny's perspective. Charles Swindoll has been attributed with his observation, life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I respond to it. The perspective you take on life's flow and transitions makes the critical difference. Ronald Cotton spent 35 years in prison for a rape he did not commit. Exonerated by DNA evidence, Ronald and his accuser, Jennifer Thompson Canino, became close friends and even co-authored a book. But Joseph had made the decision to forgive Jennifer long before his release. He couldn't carry on serving my time system, holding grudges and thinking about retaliating against the person that made an honest mistake. I had to proceed on in life regardless. Perspectively, it's why a man can spend decades in jail for a crime he did not commit and hold no ill will toward his accuser. The decision to proceed in life, no matter what, is why some thrive in transition while others wither. Perspective is how you view what happens to you. Perspective moves you to look at the rubble and devastation and see the phoenix rising up from it. When people hear the word grace, they usually think it is meaning of religious terms, but grace also can be understood as a virtue or a disposition toward the thing. You can have a grace for doing something and then lose it, so your perspective changes. You can have a grace to work 70 hours a week and it doesn't bother you. You may even thrive on it. You may do this for a long time, then fall in love, marry, have children, and as you watch your children grow up far too quickly, you may lose your grace for working such long hours. Spending time with family becomes far more important. Maybe you once had grace for putting out fires on the job, but now have lost your grace for relentless pressure. As you are more exposed, your perspective changes. Through exposure, your discovery, you don't have to live like you do now. Through exposure, you discover you're worthy of a mate who respects you, and your perspective changes. Through exposure, you realize that your talent can earn you a good living and great sense of fulfillment. Exposure changes your perspective. If you are serious about destiny, you will receive a gift of exposure, and you will be willing to change your perspective. Through the edge of flows of life, through the challenges, opportunities, the changed perspectives, welcome exposure to the new. You are meant to be there. Resist the urge to go back to where what's familiar, and remember that even if you do, what you left behind won't be the same. Exposure has made you a different person who can go back, who can't go back to the old situation. Focus on what lies ahead, and then believe in God's power to take you there. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to read the conclusion, or begin the conclusion of the book in chapter 17, Destiny Demands Courage. We want to thank you for joining us on today. Please hold tight, and we'll be right back.
This is for that little child with no father, for that man that doesn't have a place to stay, for that little boy living with AIDS.
Can I tell you a story? Tell you a story.
You can lean on me.
There's a man,
oh yeah,
standing on the corner. He has no home, he has no food, and his blue skies are gone.
Yes, it is.
Can you hear him crying out?
I'm
not afraid to die.
you more than you'll ever know.
Instead of walking away,
open up.
Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. I am Pastor David Shaw of Monumental Hope and Deliverance. Well, hope, and I do mean hope, changes everything. We truly want to give honor to God who's added my life in the name of Jesus. We also want to acknowledge our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'd like to acknowledge my wife, Lady Diane Shaw, and our overseer, Bishop Joel David Trout out of Atlanta, Georgia. I truly want to give all honor and praise to those to God, first and foremost, to those that are listening by way of Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Skype, Blog Talk, YouTube. Those are even listening in on the archive. Eventually, we ask that you be blessed through the anointing of the words that are going forth on this evening. We thank you for joining us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, and praise be to the all-wise, wonderful living God. Well, praise God, we've made it. This is the final chapter of the Book of Destiny. In the name of Jesus, step into your purpose. Chapter 17. The title of that is Destiny Demands Courage. Steps are unstoppable. Let us read. It takes courage to produce what God is drawing out of you. It means you must rise to a higher level in knowing known places that offers no guarantees about what will happen when you get there. In a culture that worships excess, success, yet asks, who are you to add to think you can be successful? It takes courage to believe you can contribute something. Who are you? You're not rich, and neither is your daddy. You're not famous or powerful, as you see in the media say you are not good looking. How dare you believe God has a fulfilling destiny for you? Who are you to dream of success? Whatever success looks like for you, your life, my destiny is to confirm that the door to destiny is open to anyone with the courage to knock. Economic, commercial, or professional success are accelerating. Follow what you believe and enjoy. Do not start on a quest to figure out the quickest way to fame and wealth. That's a critical point about destiny. Yours may include fame, but fame is not the purpose of destiny. Seek your destiny. Do not join the throng of thousands trying to be famous because they love fame. The adulation, tension that it brings. Those who enjoy enduring fame never sought fame for fame's sake. They were following a dream or a vision to accomplish something that drew them. Take courage and figure out who you are trying, who you truly are. Not what society, your parents, spouse, boss, or friends want you to be. It takes courage to know thyself and say, who cares? I'm going to my destiny. Find the courage that walk through the rubble of broken relationships when you lose friends or suffer betrayal as a climb destiny ladder. It's painful. My own life experiences that whole accolades come from newspapers and television. There's a private pain you must endure as people you love, trusted, or admired turn against you in envy. It hurts to be criticized when you're trying to do your best. It stings deeply when you discover that the insincerity of those you thought loved you, they only love what you would do for them. It's a harsh reality to face that someone simply wants you to fail. You don't know why. Why don't know why? That's just can't stand the thought of you getting what you want out of life. But you can't go through the door of destiny without passing through the hall of haters. Be courageous enough to pursue destiny. Stand up in those words. World occupied by more than 7 billion people, and say, I have a unique purpose and a destiny that is distinct from any other person who has ever lived. Know that you have a role, an idea, a plan, or a vision, contribution to humanity. Have the courage to be uniquely you, to be different. It is easier and less stressful not to be successful, to be mediocre, not to make waves. No courage is required to be normal and fit in. If you are more concerned about people's opinion of you than God's vision for you, then neutralize what the Almighty created in you, given the peer pressure, and fit in with everyone else. Dress like them, act like them, eat what they eat, spend 70 hours a week watching television like they do. Live on credit, check to check as they do. Satisfied with barely getting by, overspend like them, go where they go, think like they think, talk like they talk. Neutralize your divinely created uniqueness, and you won't need courage. It is reality TV society we live in today. The weak, withered down and mediocre is the standard. It takes courage to say, I didn't come through all of that I've been through to fit a definition of normality. I have the courage to go after my dream. Be courageous enough to claim your right and affirm your ability to rise to greater heights. You're a rising star. You have inside you the courage and stamina to push away the negativity of conformity, and invite destiny to come in. It takes courage to be exceptional, wise, educated, beautiful, happy, spiritual, and knowledgeable. because those are steps on the road to destiny, a journey that starts inside you. And girl, being courageous doesn't mean you will never be afraid or doubt. Quite the contrary. The one who has courage gathers up the fear and keeps moving forward. Girl, corral your fears and move ahead, daring to be the human marvel God created you to be. Don't let your destiny become a horror movie. Some people, girls, love horror movies. They tingle with fear or excitement as the protagonists struggle and strategize to survive. The modern horror flick can teach us a lot about destiny. Horror movie survivors are usually the most astute in the group. They are able to keep reality calm during the crisis and stick with strategy. If something goes wrong, they understand that the strategy has to change. Those who survive closing credits understand that only thing that matters is staying alive. If one in their core group of survivors gets bitten, they momentarily lament and lose and keep moving. There's no time to ask crazy questions. God, why did they get bitten? Neither do they feel guilty because somebody else got bitten and they didn't. Been moving because they want to stay alive. The path of traveling to destiny can create as much excitement and drama as a horror movie. You need courage to keep a level head and stick with your strategy, especially when you're under attack by some undead person who doesn't want you to succeed. The protagonists in the movie have the advantage. However, they are under attack. Ominous notes begin to play, signaling what's about to go down. Music comes to indicate trouble has arrived. You don't have the benefit of background music when drama unfolds in your life, but you can still keep your life from beginning and becoming a horror movie. First, don't feed on drama. Stay calm. Horror movies are indeed to be overly dramatic to entice your emotion. Notice those who die in a horror flick are those who scream and freak out. They feed into drama. When you are attacked on your destiny journey, don't give in to the drama in your life. Stay with the strategy. Be the protagonist in your own life script and calmly stick with your strategy. This book will equip you to craft a strategy for destiny, but especially refer to chapter 3, and God will let you know it's the right one for you, your life, if you seek your Creator. When you have a strategy to fulfill your life's purpose, you may have to make some adjustments. Circumstances change, but stick with the plan. Third, don't court the undead. Even if the undead are those who you love, they the undead enjoy infecting other people and sucking life out of them. They don't have the luxury of hanging around people who have no purpose and have given up on bettering themselves. Distinguish vampires from zombies. Understand what kind of undead is out to get you so you can devise a winning strategy. The classic vampire of a modern horror genre is smart, cunning, and physically attractive. When he comes after you, he usually have smooth, even charming. He studies his prey, chooses carefully, and lures you in before the strike, the longer to recognize, because they are engaging and charismatic, and they may engross you in stimulating conversation. They are dangerous because, unfortunately, they suck out your life force. They don't care about your hopes, dreams, or destiny. They're predators who want to drain you dry. Then, where are zombies? Then there are zombies, the moronic undead. They don't think. They don't try to charm. They are simply flesh-eating predators. They operate in a perfunctory manner, simply seeking to devour living flesh. It doesn't matter if it's you or a person next to you. A zombie could be your best friend, mother, twin, or college roommate, but will attack you. Fifth, keep it moving. The journey of destiny can operate like a horror movie script. You may have started out with a group of friends, fellow students, co-workers, or business partners who are determined to fulfill your purpose and live in destiny along the way. Some couldn't attend off attacks by the undead. But watch out, because that now undead person you were once close to dreamed dreams with cast visions, with planned destiny, with cold could attack you. Horror movie survivors keep moving in the midst of terror. They don't stop and ask why. Feelings of betrayal and hurt are natural responses when people or events wreak havoc on your destiny journey. But bind your wounds and keep it moving. Glance back and cry for a bit, but you don't have to let you don't have a lot of time for whys. Owes you no explanation for allowing pain, painful circumstances. God has only promised to be with us and provide comfort during those times. Resist an assurance that God is with you. If you ask the person responsible for your trauma, he or she probably couldn't explain it, just like the flesh-eating zombie or vampire pursues prey because that is its nature. The undead in your life derail your destiny because all they know to do. A woman saw a dying baby when rattle shake, brought it home and nursed it to health. When the snake returned to the full force and vitality, he bit the woman. Why? The dying woman asked as the venom slowly infiltrated her bloodstream. Why did you bite me when I took you in my house and cared for you and got well? Is this how you repay me? The Rabscape replied calmly and dispassionately. You knew I was a rattlesnake when you took me in. People do what they do. If you are courageous enough to keep moving forward toward destiny, you will outgrow the need to ask why. Your why will be that you've become someone else. You've grown and expanded. Your thoughts, actions, needs, and desires now frighten, stymie people. Say they try to trip you up as you rise. Don't get distracted by them. Don't spend time wondering, why is she doing this to me? Summon the courage within yourself to live the life you desire. It takes courage to let go when they hurt you and impede your destiny. You need courage to admit there's like vampires and zombies. Gather up your courage and let such relationships go for destiny's sake. What do you do when the theater lets lights go on? What do you do when the theater lights go on? You let go a sigh of relief when the drama is over. The last scene of the movie shows the lone survivor, worn, breathless, and perhaps a bit disoriented. When the horror movie has ended and the credits roll, we like to think that the protagonist has to live happily ever after. What really happens to the horror story survivor when the movie is over? The vampires have been annihilated with the silver bullet. The zombies have been obliterated along the way. Friends who started in the fight have been lost. There is only one survivor who will go out into the different world without the people who shared in the struggle. You have survived all the challenges you faced to get ahead, and there's no one left who understands the journey but you. All the buddies you started out with didn't survive. Most of the time, people are so busy trying to make it that once they get there, the feelings of loneliness can become overwhelming. No one in your new world understands what it's like to survive in ramen noodles just to get to the next financial aid check in college. No one in your new world grew up in a trailer park eating government cheese. None of your colleagues were taken to juvenile hall or engaging in gang warfare. When no one around you understands, with whom do you celebrate the victory against the overwhelming odds? If you're lucky, maybe you have a successful friend who made it through the horror movie, like drama of trying to get ahead. More than likely, there would be no one but you. The new life you have includes a spouse whose parents both have doctoral degrees, the college sweetheart with whom you vowed, it's you and me against the world. They sound up out of the struggle out ago. She wasn't willing to wait it out for you to get ahead. Truthfully, she probably couldn't survive in your new world anyway. The 1950s movie When Worlds Collide was a science fiction drama about the catastrophic results of a new planet colliding with Earth. Your old world doesn't belong with your new world. As lonely as you may feel at times, remember that your new world is worthy of discovery. Meet the people in it. Savor the new experience. Find fulfillment in life destiny has drawn you into. Your experiences have made you stronger, but they are not meant to define all in your life. Fill your loneliness with the spirit of an explorer. There's so much in your new world that you don't know. People there may have a different history, but they have overcome their own colleagues or challenges. You can learn from them, like them, and even find commonalities in your experiences. There may always be a lonely spot in your heart from the drama you survived, but the totality of your life lived in destiny will be more than enough to offer you a full life desire. The decision you made to help you became a survivor are the same skills that will help you find a comfortable place in your new world. Make a decision, a destiny decisions. Make destiny decisions. Some destinies don't have to impact your destiny. It won't matter whether you put it on black rocks or brown socks. No matter whether you put on black socks or brown socks today, you can drive a red car or a silver one, a sedan or an SUV. Some decisions are inconsequential choices, so please don't place yourself under pressure by thinking every decision has to be carefully created or crafted, lest every destiny be lost. Make the choice you want to enjoy your life. But you will have to make some decisions that are pivotal to destiny. These choices will make the critical differences between your ability to arrive at destiny or not. These decisions will have an impact on the rest of your life. Destiny decisions have a place. I'm not necessarily talking about monetary costs. Although financial choices often have an impact on destiny, most people and most often the cost is courage and interpersonal relationships. It takes courage decisions, courage to ignore what grandma wants you to do with your life and choose destiny. Your destiny decisions may cost you Uncle Willie's approval. Your destiny choices may cause you to lose some people you regard as friends. What are you going to do with the life you have left? You may have 50 years or you may have 2, but find the courage choices for the time you have. Some are afraid to make decisions and they contemplate their opinions so long they miss their window of opportunity. They delay too long in making a decision. They could have purchased property at a great price after the housing bubble burst, but they missed their opportunity. They delayed investing in this certain stock and missed their opportunity before the market rebound and prices got too high. They waited too late to launch a career or to bear children. When you're so fearful that you're immobile too long to decide, if you make no decision, the door of destiny may swing shut. You can take too long to ask a woman to marry you. You can take too long to decide on a career change. You can take too long to decide to have children. Fear can make you take too long to decide, but fear can also scare you into making decisions too fast. Figuratively, fear can make you grab the first train coming because you're afraid there won't be another. So you worry too soon. Take the worry in the wrong job or make a commitment before you're properly situated to honor it. When you make decisions too fast, you reflect back on the decisions and choices. You say, I wish I had known that before I decided to do what I did. There is a critical correlation between destiny and decision. Your decisions will lead you to your destiny. Put great decisions in motion will change your life. Sometimes it's not courage we lack to make the decision. It's information. Good information can bolster our courage to the darkness of ignorance. You should be scared to make decisions with no information. Good information can unfreeze the paralyzed of your mind. Paralysis of your mind and make a decision, a destiny decision. Before you build a house, common sense says count the cost. You don't just start building a house without knowing how much time and money it will cost you. Whether you're quitting your job to return to school, changing careers, or changing your relationship status, get good information, solidly informed, make your decision, your destiny decision. You can't make great decisions with erroneous information. I watched a television program one night about a judge who was about to rule on whether or not to extend a stay of execution for a man who was condemned to die by lethal injection. Everything was prepared for the execution. However, on the day before the scheduled execution, the condemned man's attorney presented new information to the judge. The information he provided changed the conviction, the convicted man's life. With the new data the judge received, he spared the man's life. When you're about to make a decision, a destiny decision, get all the accurate information you can. When you got a good idea of what you were coming up against, you can muster the courage when you need to keep going. Stop using the excuse that you're waiting on God. Sometimes waiting is merely justification for inaction. You may be waiting on God while God is waiting on you. God has provided and prepared everything you need. He just needs you to make a step toward it. Get the best information you can and make a decision. Sometimes we move timidly as though there's only one precise step we can make. And if you don't make right one, all of our hopes and dreams will collapse. That's simply not true. Always strive to make your choices based on sound information, and when they then move forward. Times when you decide based on a bunch of feeling, pray about it, the following, and follow that choice. You will find that even when decision is not the best, God can still use the situation to bless and propel you toward destiny. Evaluate your mind to destiny. The final segment of the chapter. Some are called to destiny but never answer. They prefer to keep their heads down and live below destiny's level because destiny requires showing courage in addition to changing, demonstrating vision, entering new arenas, stretching, growing, failing, and getting up again. You have to do some things to release what God has prepared for your life. It is not going to happen in spite of you. It will only happen because of you. Saying, whatever happens in my life is all right with me. It's not choosing destiny. Now is the time for you to make the decision that will empower you to rise. God will give you a glimpse of destiny, but you will not know how to get there. When I was a boy, God began to give me peaks of my destiny, but I had no idea at the time how I would get there. I now can see time and again I was elevated to a larger arena. Each time a place became confining, I was able to rise to another level. Each new level was bigger, so I could grow. As I arrived in those larger spaces, I had to learn new skills. In each new environment, I was able to order my steps, gain new confidence, learn from new exposure, and absorb new knowledge. At no stage of life should you be content and sit comfortably thinking that you have arrived. That destiny offers you no new vista of opportunity, challenge, or growth. There's always another level to attain in some arena of life. God has created us humans as such fascinating creatures that you are able to grow on many different levels. You may have reached your highest economic destiny, but have not yet arrived at your highest level of spirituality. You may still have room to grow to a level where you tune out the world's chatter to hear the voice of God speaking to you. You may have reached your personal destiny, but still have room to grow in your relationship. You can get to know your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, and even your parents in closer and more intimate ways. Destiny is calling out to you. You are on the cusp of change. More is calling to you. You are not selfish. You are not ungrateful. You are not greedy. There really is more. You cannot stay where you are without feeling discomfort and discontent. No matter where you are in pursuit of destiny, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. The element, and evaluate your mind to a high level and a high calling of destiny. That concludes our reading out of the Book of Destiny. I truly want to thank you for all those who have been listening in. I trust and pray that there was truly an outstanding opportunity to feel the relationship involved with the Book of Destiny through Bishop T.D. Jakes. I'm trusting that many have been inspired by the reading. If you'd like to call in, feel free. The number 929-477-2299. Again, that's 929-477-2299. Please feel free during this live recording to give some feedback to the book, Destiny. The lines are now open. Well, we thank you once again for joining us on today. We have concluded our reading from the Book of Destiny. We ask that God will bless you and keep you until we meet again in our new reading. And that reading will be So You Call Yourself a Man by Bishop T.D. Jakes. God bless you and God keep you. And remember, if loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right. Remember, lean on me.
For that little child with no father. For that man that doesn't have a place to stay. For that little boy living with AIDS.
Can I tell you a story? Tell you a story.
You can lean on me.
There's a man.
Oh, yeah.
Standing on the corner. He had no home. He has no food, and his blue skies are gone.
Yes, it is.
Can you hear him crying now?